Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it, and I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple, and not only that, I got some H1 Ninjas in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today, and I love them 100%. So,
guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads. Accessories.
Let me
like
ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. But guess what? XtraFi's got you covered. 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world. Asia, NA, Europe, they got you covered. So you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Fraggin' Laggin' Podcast send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not...
You're probably not using XtraFi gear.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the third episode of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast, and it is an honor, a pleasure, to introduce to you guys the co-host of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast, the homie. There's two things that have come from, well, three things that have come from Belgium. Good chocolate, Dr. Evil, and this guy right here, a guy that, I've told him plenty of times how I fanboyed over him back in the day, is the homie Joachim, or Blaze. You can call him whatever you want. Thanks for signing on to do this this podcast with me, and it's an honor to have you part of the team.
No problem, man. You forgot a few things about Belgium, though. The saxophone was invented in Belgium. Of course, we got the chocolate. We got Brussels sprouts. We got waffles.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, we got Dr. Evil. We got so much stuff in Belgium. For a little country, we're not doing bad.
Yeah,
but I'm not one of those things, but thank you for naming me in one sentence with it.
You white chocolate, let's go, you know? Like when I started this and I approached you about doing this, I was like, hey, you know, you're the perfect fit. You know, we're a little bit older than the normal people out there. And, you know, I always go on this podcast, I go, my name is Bobby. And, people call you Blaze because it's just easy. And, you know,
you can say Joachim. Try saying it.
Joachim.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's close enough for government work. But, you know, the thing about it is that we have this alter ego that is built around, you know, content creation. So, like, on all social media platforms, I go by Junkhead1324. And people always ask me, what does 1324 mean? I mean, for me, that is my two sons. That's their birthday. So it used to be Junkhead15 back in the day, like Xbox 360, Modern Warfare 2, Noobtube and everybody. It was Junkhead15 because that was my birthday. And then you believe that when I came over to PC, someone actually had Junkhead15 and I could not get it. So I changed it to Junkhead1324. So
I remember that was one of my first questions I asked you. Why do you have these numbers behind your nickname, you know?
And everyone's like, why is it Junkhead? And I was like, and I'm a huge Alice in Chains fan, so I've always liked the song Junkhead. No, I'm not a druggie. I don't believe in drugs and stuff like that. But I've always liked that song. And then 1324 is like, it's unique, you know? It's me, you know? And there was already a Junkhead out there, so I had to spice it up to, you know, go from there. So, but, you know, the premise behind this podcast, and especially bringing you on, which is I'm very grateful for, is that everyone, like, I've sat and we've, believe it or not, guys, and I want to say thank you, whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, thank you very much for me and the Blaze, for taking the time out of your day. And we got some big stuff coming down the pipeline, and I'll let Blaze tell you about that a little bit later. But we really wanted to do this to tell about, I've told Blaze several times, I like the idea of telling people, finding out people's stories, because I sent out a tweet, I'm sure you remember it, where I was like, those people out there that said they did it on their own, they had no one help them, and I called them assholes, because somewhere along the line, someone has mentored somebody and given that direction for someone down the right path. I mean, you have helped me out more than you know, and you know, I have always believed in paying it forward and spreading the news, you know.
Yeah,
and
I can give you a little example about that. In my past, when I grew as a streamer,
Before that, yeah, I know your story, and yeah, there's plenty of people out there that don't know your story, but I want to know
that whole story is going to be a part for another podcast.
That's like a 6-episode yes, podcast,
something like that.
But I want the people that are going to become fans of the greatest podcast out there. That's just starting it out, Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Which you guys can find us on Twitter at Fraggin' Laggin'. Please, yep, you guys follow us. So we'll be posting a lot of updates on there.
We're gonna put out a weekly podcast at least, and if you follow us on Twitter, you'll also get notified when we got the podcast out, of course.
And this is a TOS, Terms of Service. We don't have one. Like, right now, I'm not wearing a shirt, you know? I'm topless, you know? But we're going to have a good time doing this.
Too much
so,
info.
So, it's never too much info. It's what brings the people back. So, but yeah, just take the time and just tell us a little bit about you. And then you could just... And then we'll go from there. I mean, you know, people want to know about you.
Okay. And, like, I never started out immediately on Twitch, right? So the thing is, I used to own my own company, had 24 employees for myself, and I was just having fun in between to relax and play FIFA. But the thing is, this thing came out called Ultimate Team on FIFA that was in 2011, if I was right, 2011 to 12, and you could start trading people and make money and buy better players and so on and so on. And well, I studied marketing and economics, so I've always been a numbers guy, and that intrigued me so much. And you had an application on your phone that you could be trading, and I was trading in my car while driving, excuse me, and I was trading on the toilet, and I was trading everywhere, you know. And at some point, before I knew it, I just figured out the system, how to trade very well, make a lot of money, and become one of the top traders of the whole world on PC for FIFA Ultimate Team. And I started getting so many people that added me as a friend, and then I accepted them, and every time it was the same question: how are you on top, how do you make so much money, how do you have the best players on your team, blah blah blah. And at some point, I'm always a guy that tries to help people and wants to be friendly. Well, that's just my nature, and
I just don't think there's enough people like you out there, though, you know, because
there's enough people out there.
I think there needs to be more, honestly, because, and I'm not trying to cut you off or anything, it's just that there's a lot of selfish people out there that don't want to share their secret sauce, and that's what I think I've always been drawn to you, is because you've shared what worked for you.
Yeah, I try to do that. Like, if people always ask me stuff, I try to help them, I try to give them advice. So what I did there, at some point I wrote a text that explained what I did and how I did it and some tips and tricks. And at some point, some dude from India, I'm never gonna forget him, we're still friends, his name is Darmin, he messaged me and he said, dude, like, why, like, I had the same conversation with him like all the other guys, but all the other guys, after I explained them and they left, you know, and sometimes maybe they wanted to play a game against me or whatever. But this guy, me and him started talking and we became friends. And then he was like, dude, you're so good at this. Why don't you make a YouTube video about it? You know, how to do it. And that's how we started out. And my YouTube was called J2DK. It was the first letter of my first name and the first letter of my second name. And from Darmin, his first letter and second letter from, you know, so that was J2DK. And that's how we started on YouTube. And we created a Facebook page where we gave tips and tricks, where we had over 100K followers. And it just grew, you know? And before we know it, we were a team of 8 guys doing this and giving tips and tricks to people, how to do trick shots, how to trade. I was a guy doing the trading, the other were doing the trick shots. We made a whole team. And we existed, I think, for 2 years. And we had some sponsors and we were putting on our YouTube, like, what should we do? We're gonna, on our Facebook. What should we do? We wanna do a giveaway, but how would you guys suggest us to do it? And they were like, guys, you should go on this platform called Twitch and live stream it and play games against us live. So we have the opportunity to play against you. I was called J2DK Bumble, by the way. Bumble was my first nickname because I liked the movie Transformers. I just loved the car. I loved the, what's her name, Fox or whatever.
Oh, you know? Megan Fox. Who didn't like Megan Fox back? Oh, hold on a sec.
Megan Fox.
Moment. Give me a moment. And go on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Megan Fox, Bumblebee, I love the car. I'm still crazy about those cars.
What, the car or Megan Fox?
Both. Okay. Right. But anyways, that was my nickname, right? So we started this channel called J2DK Games on Twitch. And we did a stream, and our first stream drew 1,800 viewers.
Holy, on your first open, like, kicking the doors off, pressing going live, and just from the following you had on YouTube.
And from our Facebook, page.
You guys should stream on this little thing called Twitch. And you press go live in your very first stream, you got 1K viewers. Yeah. Viewers
but
or
the
followers?
Viewers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we...
Come on, Nightbot. I need you to get those numbers up for me, all right? Let's go.
But, at some point we leveled out around 300-400 viewers. And we started diversifying a bit. And all the guys were streaming on the same channel. But unfortunately, I was the guy drawing the most viewers. And other guys, when they streamed, people came in their chat and asked for when is Blaze going to be live? When is Bumble going to be live? Sorry. I'm so used to say Blaze. When is Bumble going to be live? When is he going to be there? But the thing was, I used to make videos on YouTube and be on Twitch with a mask on. Nobody knew how I looked, how old I was, who I was. And there was a whole mystery around me, which should draw people to my channel and to the YouTube and everything, you know?
And fun fact, guys, he's really old. He's like 55 years old, but go ahead. Keep going.
Close.
It's a running joke we have between each other. Who's older?
Yeah.
He is, so.
Yeah. So the whole mystery aspect drew people towards the whole group and towards everything to try to find out who I was. And at some point, I don't know how or what anymore, but I made a deal that I would reveal my face. And I did, and everything exploded even more. I think the stream where I revealed my face had 2,800 viewers or something like that.
Ooh. Ooh.
So yeah. But anyway, so at some point, the other guys got demoralized because they didn't get the amount of viewers I got when I went live and everything. And I talked with the guys, some of them didn't want to stream anymore and this and that. So I decided to go my own way, you know, and some of the guys wanted to stop in J2DK. You know how it goes with the group. Everybody moves on somewhere or somehow. And then I talked to to a good friend, and we came up with the name Joachim Blaze, and that's how my channel started. That's how I got onto Twitch. That's the story. I'm not gonna go deeper in all the rest, but that's how I got onto Twitch. That's how I started. And that's also why from the beginning I had, when I switched to Blaze, of course, I went to CSGO, which was not FIFA, but I still had like between 50 and 150 viewers when I started out, you know? And the only thing I can say, because that's why I was telling this story, the first thing that got me to YouTube was meeting this guy, Darmin, telling me, you should do YouTube, I'm gonna learn you to do YouTube, and we're gonna make this together, you know? Then, me starting on Twitch, I met this guy called Blaž from Slovenia. Later on, he even came to live with me for a while after my divorce. He became my video guy, and he helped me. He did that for free, without asking anything, just because he believed in me, and because he wanted to help my stream grow. And that's what I'm saying. Every stream, in some way, is it by a mod? Is it by a video editor? Is it by some... There's always somebody helping most of the streamers, let's say that. I'm not going to say every streamer, because I don't know everybody's story. But I'm, from my side, I'm pretty persuaded that you need people around you. You need good mods. You need people that keep your chat active. You need people that help you with your editing if you're not an video editor yourself. You need so much things around you. Even just talking to people, give you advice, get you somewhere, like make you realize where you should go with your stream or what you should do with your stream, are actually people that helped you get where you are right now.
Yeah, and that's like I said, I just don't think like
coffee break.
Yeah, coffee break. I'm not drinking coffee. You guys, if you guys will know, I drink a lot of coffee. And Blaze is always like, you drink too much coffee. And I say, there's, you know, no such thing.
I'm saying that because before I joined, I listened to your second episode, Toxic As I Wanna Be. And so many times I heard you say coffee break. I heard you sip your coffee. And I was like, this is so funny.
it's something else. But we are open for good coffee sponsorship. So you guys, please. Just slide into our DMs on Twitter and offer coffee sponsorships, but willing to send to the States and also to Belgium. But and like we've sat and we've talked so much, is that there's the impact advice can have on somebody is so crucial, because you may not know you're doing something wrong, but you're going about doing things the wrong way. I'm sorry, but Shannon sends me a text just now. And
the lady interrupts.
The lady.
But I'm gonna tell you.
Is that advice is the most powerful thing that you can give anybody? It's not the most having the most expensive setup. It's not having the most expensive this. It's not
or
having
the best
most
camera or the best microphone.
Yeah, it's having exactly. It's like what you can do with what you have is like so important, because like hold on a second, you could have the most run of the mill piece together stream. Content creation, you know, camera
with the best overlays, with an expensive sound, with a moving bird like I have.
But if you're not doing
with the best shit,
yeah. But if you're not doing it right, you're doing the right steps, then it's all for naught. If that makes sense, is that
yeah? Because those streams I'm talking about, where my group had thousands of viewers. We had the shittiest overlays. We had the basic alerts from, I think it was Stream Elements back then, I'm not sure. But we had all the basic stuff. We didn't have anything special. Nothing. We just put some stupid overlay there, put our name on there, and just went live and did our thing. And people loved it. So it's not only, of course, it's cool to have, like, it's getting, you know, Twitch is not anymore like 5 years ago, of course. you people expect you to have crisp quality and this and that, but in the end it's also about the quality they watch. If there's nothing interesting going on, if there's nothing happening, how are you going to keep their attention? How are you going to draw people in? How are you going to have people coming back? They need to have a reason to come back, people, you know?
And like me, I've always said that I'm not the best gamer at all, but for me,
you suck.
Like, I do. I'm horrible. I admit. But
nah,
my thing
nah,
is that
nah, you're good. You're
is
good.
That it's about entertainment value. You cannot put a price tag on entertainment value. Like, you know, we don't know and we're gonna get into this, guys. Like, before we were label ourselves as streamers. We're streamers. But the days of being a streamer is null and void. Is that we're theoretically just content creators, and this is another form of content creation, something that I've wanted to do for a while, and I'm really glad that Blaze has
and
got
I actually wanted to do for a while also.
It works in and like I've told, but I love hearing people's stories. I mean, everybody has a good and a bad side of what they've done wrong, and people don't share what they've done wrong. And you know, because to me, when you know the ups and downs of what someone's gone through, it makes it more of a personable relationship that you build with a content creation event. Because like back, you know, like I've said it time and time again, is like back when I would stream when it was called Justin TV, you just hit went live, you just hit the go live button and you were good to go. You know, now it's you have to go live, send out a tweet, send out an Instagram, send out a Snapchat, a TikTok, do all this and that, and then turn around and make constant YouTube videos that you funnel. Everything is like one big vortex. You're funneling things into one big direction that you want to go. And really, to get back to you, is why really I think you're more of an inspiration than you know. And there's people that look at you are like, man, look at him. You know, yeah, he's been on the top, and you know, real life happened, and he's starting over again.
Let's not say top, but yeah.
You've been there. You got yeah. He's a partnered streamer on Twitch, and he earned his check mark. You know, but I think the thing is that it's always really intrigued me about yourself, is that you said, I'm gonna go to TwitchCon, and I'm going to compete on TwitchCon's biggest stage during the H1Z1 days. You promised your community. And see, here's my thing. I don't like the word community. I like the term family, because to me, that's what it is. You build a family. You promised to all the followers, the legions of
I call my viewers and my family, the Blaze Army, you know, yeah, or the Blazers.
The Blazettes, for, you know, he has a dance troupe called the Blazettes. But you promised them that I'm going to fucking do this. I will be there at TwitchCon, and I will be on that main stage playing, to me, still to this day, the best Battle Royale game ever created, H1Z1. And I remember watching that TwitchCon event and seeing Nadeshot. And who is this guy that leans over, that sits next to the Nadeshot?
Me?
You. And I'm like, oh yeah. My God, that's fucking him. That's him. Because it's just a testament of, like, you say you're going to do something, you fucking follow through. You do whatever you can.
I also remember on the stage, Soda Poppin was live streaming on his channel. He had, like, the camera mounted to his body. And he had thousands of viewers. He was walking on the stage where everybody was preparing for the games. And he just walks up to me and is like, hey, Blaze, how you doing? And he hugs me and, like, he squeezes a whole camera against my body. Like, suddenly my phone starts, like, going off from people that watch my stream and on my Twitter. Like, hey, man, I saw you on Soda Pop. And what the fuck are you doing on that stage, you know? And I was like, yeah, man, we made it.
Yeah, you did it, because it's like...
But I can remember that moment. Like, I'm gonna just explain you the whole thing, how it happened. I was a CSGO streamer, and I was also a gambler. People were gambling on CSGO back then on Twitch, you know, and mm-hmm. Twitch banned that because some of those sites were not kosher, like we would say.
Yeah.
That were not 100% legit and had apparently little kids gambling on there because they didn't check identities and stuff like that, which is totally illegal.
Play with
illegal.
Mommy and daddy's money. Go ahead. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Whatever. But yeah, that's it. And so I was looking for a new game, a new thing, a new that I liked. And I had this viewer of mine. He was called Volky. He's also a mod of Dr. Disrespect, and he streams himself. The real Volky. Go and follow him. Go and check him out. He's really cool. He was a viewer of mine, and he said, "Please, I've been playing this game. It's called H1Z1. It's Battle Royale, blah, blah, blah." I was like, what the hell is Battle Royale, you know? And in like, it took me a while to jump in it. But once I jumped into playing that game, it was so skill-based, so attractive to become better and better, to be able to get that victory royale. It was amazing, you know? It drew me in hard, that game.
It was so addictive. It was. Yeah. Because you were like, you started out, you're like, man, I'm horrible. Because I came from controller console to mouse and keyboard on H1Z1. And I was like, my first, and I've said to this day, the first time I ever played the game, H1Z1, the greatest battle royale game ever played. And I don't care, everyone could hate on that game, but I guarantee you right now, and we've talked about this, if H1Z1 came back, people would go back to playing that game. My very first game, I ran across this big place called PV, Pleasant Valley, and professional H1Z1 player two taps me. His name was Bizarre. That was my very first game. And I was like, man, this sucked. I got to play this game again. My second game, this guy named Huskers, so you guys may have heard of him. I'm in a Jeep. He actually two taps me out of a Jeep. And I was like, fuck this. I'm playing again. My third game, Bizarre gets me again. My fourth game, some guy named Doug is Raw kills me. And I'm like, I'm hooked. I got to get better. I got to get better. I want to play this game. And like, I would go to work and come home and play this game. And you guys, by no means, I was never a royalty player. I never got the royalty. I got plat 2. That's it.
Believe me, I was never a royalty player either, you know?
But the game was so addicting, and it had proximity chat. Make proximity chat great again.
I love proximity chat.
Oh, I miss it. So I wish it was in Fortnite, because I would go off. And
I remember one of my first games, a guy killed me. I was like, oh, fuck this or whatever, and this guy was, you're trash, and I was like, dude, what did I do to you? You're fucking trash. I was like, dude, what the fuck? You it's know, like I was so.
I could,
that was my first game. That was the first game where I had proximity chat. You know,
as like I always to this day, like I will go back and watch the T-Hump proximity rage videos from H1Z1 because. That is why it was so toxic. And that's why in the last episode, because I talked about it. Modern Warfare 2 was toxic, and H1Z1, it was toxic because you had proximity chat. But
guys, if you haven't listened to that episode, please, after this episode, go back and listen to it.
Stop.
I really liked it. I really liked it.
Go ahead and listen to it. It would.
So I'm going to go back to what I was saying. So I'm playing this game. I like it, right? And it was around the time that it was the H1Z1 Invitational 216. That's kind of where Dr. Disrespect popped off, because I used to host him when he started on Twitch with my CSGO viewers, and I liked the doc. I was one of his first subscribers, and I really liked this guy. He had his thing going on, and that was totally new for me on Twitch, and I loved it. So, and then I see all these tweets about the doc, and about H1Z1, and about Summit, and about so many other people, and in my stream, I watched the H1Z1 Invitational, and I rewatched the H1Z1 Invitational a few times, and I'm like, this event is so fucking cool with all these streamers. You know what, guys? Me, I promise you now, I'm gonna do everything possible in my body to show you guys, because I didn't even have a win. I didn't even have maybe 50 kills in the game, but I said to my viewers, I'm gonna be in the next H1Z1 Invitational next year. I'm gonna show you guys it's possible. And the craziest thing was, even though deep in my heart, something said like, you're not gonna make it. It's impossible to be there. But this fire that that's why I call myself Blaze, because I also got a tattoo of a phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
I always have this fire in my body to rise from the ashes and prove people wrong.
That his old stripper name was El Fuego, but you know, El Fuego.
Don't tell people. But like, that made people for a year push me to where I got. That made people help me. I did so much to get there. It was so much work behind the scenes, so much stuff in the stream, so much tweeting, so much DMing, writing to Daybreak, doing so much stuff. But in the end, me as a little Belgian guy that wasn't even royalty ever, but that was decently good at the game. I'm not going to say I was super good, but I was good at the game. I was there, you know? And I was standing there between all these big streamers in a room where how many people could hold there in that conference room?
Was it like 40,000 people or something? Yeah, it was huge.
The stage in the middle, my face on the big screen. I remember walking on the stage next to Dr. Disrespect, thinking like, damn, he's even bigger than me, you know, because I'm already 6'3". He's 6'7". I remember seeing all these people and like half of them, I'm like, I know them, but who is he? Oh, that's that guy. That's that. It was crazy. It was one of the best experiences in my life, but it also inspired a lot of people around me, from my viewers, from friends, from things, to say like, even if you're down, because I went down with viewers and everything on CSGO going down, jumping to a totally new game, kind of reinventing myself, and then building for a year to get there. That was a crazy experience, you know.
But the fact is that I think it should be a testament to anybody out there that is listening to this podcast that says, I'm going to do something. A lot of people, they say they're going to do something, and then when the time gets tough, they just, when they reach the fork in the road, rather than, you know, go left and keep, you know, going towards that goal, or keep driving straight and make your own path, they find a reason to quit. And you never did. And, you know, like, we've all had personal life that happened and changed everything. Well, but
to just give you, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. But so I got in there because there was an H1Z1 voting invitational in every continent, and there were 4 people nominated. And the more votes they got through the website of H1Z1, the first 2 guys went on the H1Z1 invitational, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was with 4 nominees in Europe, and I came in 3rd. But the guys from Daybreak told me like, man, you were so close. Like, and I was competing against, that was Emzia and a French dude. The French dude had a whole French community behind him, and he was huge. And Emzia was a huge streamer from the Scandinavian countries. Okay. And me, with my 50 to 100 viewers, almost beat them, you know?
Nice.
So because I got so many votes and was so close, I was first backup. Right? And they told me, you're going to be first backup, come to TwitchCon, for 99% sure we think you're going to be in it, because there's always somebody sick or canceling or whatever.
Yeah.
So I put every dime that I had, and I sold a few stuff to be able to go to TwitchCon in the US, because for a European, that's not cheap, right?
Yeah.
And I had Volky again, who had a hotel room through his company points, his mileage card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he invited me to his home the first few days. He really helped me a lot. I gotta say, see, that's again back to the beginning of the thing. There's always somebody helping you in some way. And Volky was a guy that helped me a lot, for example, you know? He invited me in his house. I met his family. I had a great time with them. Then we moved on to San Diego to TwitchCon. He got me in a hotel that he paid with his mileage card that he had. And he helped me so much, you know? And I was there. Then the people from Daybreak said, cool, you're here. Ninja and who canceled? I think Ninja and that dude with his long hair. I'm so bad at names.
Grimmy?
No, not Grimmy. The other dude, the rapper, you know, from New York. He's a really good streamer.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, but you guys,
go ahead. Let us know.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know on Twitter. All right, so you guys, what we're gonna do?
But anyways, they dropped out. I was in. That's a short part of the story.
Got him.
But
then
till the last day, I never gave up to be there. That's what I'm trying to say. Till the last
They never.
I never knew I was gonna be in there, but I persisted. I was there. I did everything in my power to push it to be in there, and I got in there, you know?
Yeah.
You can call it luck or whatever, but in a way,
luck is what you make it.
If I wouldn't have taken the airplane, I wouldn't have been in. If I wouldn't have said a year before, I'm going to try, do my best to be in there, I wouldn't have been in. There's been so many parts in a year time that could have changed my destiny for that, you know?
Well, there we go. You guys, that's a little slice of the Blaze life, okay?
Yeah.
We're at 30 minutes. Believe it, that's how fast and long it goes. So we're just going to give you a little taste. We do have some really great stuff coming down the line. Blaze has lined up a lot of special cool guests. We're going to keep that. You guys, just make sure you guys are following us on Twitter, at FragginLackin. We're going to list all of our social media stuff in the description of this podcast. Tell everybody about this podcast. And you guys, make sure you guys are supporting it, throwing a follow, and come hang out when we stream. We're both going to be streaming about 3 to 4 days a week. And we're going to create some great content for you guys. And this podcast is really going to be the kick them off. The Super Bowl. We're taking over the podcast world.
And, let's do this.
From Blaze and myself, you guys, I hope you enjoyed it. And we will catch you guys next week when we upload the next podcast. Until then, from me, Bobby, thank you guys very
much. From me, Joachim, bye-bye.
TTFN, bitches.
Mom! Mom! Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my God, a kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!